The Lady Bits are out in Beverly Hills, or are they? It's The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Season 7, Episode 3, Going Commando, right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm a royal diplomat.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to The Real Housewives of BH After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk about this episode and go in deep with the full panel. I'm your host, Grant Runner, Grants_Rants on Twitter.
Just to clarify, he's not going too deep, all right? We don't have an Erica Lisa situation over here. Hey, guys. My name is Christy Olsen, and you can always hit me up at Christy Reports.
Hey, guys. I'm Thomas Rulina. Find me everywhere on social media at Thomas Rulina.
And it's Megan Stecker. And same with the social media everywhere at Megan Stecker.
I like it. Yes. I like it. Thomas, I like your glasses. I cannot off fake glasses. I bought the child size because I have a narrow face.
I want to say Thomas is doing it right, but did you guys see the paparazzi pics of Justin Bieber today doing it?
He had
so
the same
wrong
ones.
But it would look so wrong.
Oh, yeah. Too big for the face.
He was wearing a Kardashian level fur.
Saw that one on the way.
I felt like the glasses were a bit too big. Like, those fit your face perfectly.
Thank you.
Like, his just looked so wrong. I don't know. It was too much for me.
He was going for a lot.
Yeah.
He took a big risk.
It was extra.
It was
extra.
Super.
Very over the top. Yes. Well, let's talk about the show, of course. And let's talk about the New York scenes, which I thought were so well shot and nice and really kind of nice to see, summertime, you know, especially now we're in the dead of winter. Lisa Rinna is there. Kyle is there. Their daughters are there. It was really kind of an episode where we kind of caught up with all the kids.
Yes.
Megan and I mentioned that it was a little bit of channeling a little bit of New Jersey in a way, where it's kind of the kids.
See, I think of Orange County.
Okay.
When we think of really seeing the families like that.
Yeah.
That's true. Delilah Bell, as she's referred to, is modeling. She had some beautiful shots. And this girl really is actually doing it. She's in Teen Vogue, which is big. Good for her. Sophia, Kyle's daughter, is in New York. She's really pretty and 5'10 and taller than her mother. And I don't know why was she in the city. I don't remember why she was with her. I guess she just went on the trip for Kyle.
I think she mentioned that she tries to take her daughters to New York once in a while, so she brought her.
Okay, it was this one's turn, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a nice time for us to actually see Sophia for once.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I don't remember the last time.
I was Sophia? Who the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't even remember. Let's talk a little bit about Dorit. And I look forward to seeing her because to me, she is a cartoon character that is just trying to be, it's almost like the cartoon rich woman that's so snooty and over the top, and she's just trying, she's pulling out everything she can to bring across this persona of this lifestyle. I feel like she's not that involved with her kids. She doesn't even bother to pack the bag to go to the park. She barely can take the kid to the speech therapy. I'm like, I don't know if I'm behind this girl. I am kind of getting a good laugh of her.
I kind of feel like with her, we're kind of getting a Camille Grammer a little bit, in the sense that we just see her day to day. But I wish that they would, we're 3 episodes in. I wanted to know more about her business. She talked about Dorit, her swim line that we kind of saw in the beginning. But, I'm not really seeing that much. But I do enjoy seeing her on TV.
It's this fantasy life that she's living, and of course we're all bred to disapprove of it, but it's kind of fantastical to see someone actually living their life like this and not really hiding it from us. She's not hiding the nannies. She's fully look, my nannies do everything. I love my kids, but my nannies do everything. And I'm I think any other housewife would hide that aspect and have trot the kids out on camera.
Yeah.
Right, and I think it says a lot about her that she doesn't. She should be afraid that this doesn't come across well. Act like you at least put the car into the backseat, but she doesn't. So the fact that she thinks I'm speaking to your point, Grant, that she's trying to portray herself this way.
That's what I think. I think for those who are on the Hilton level, who have never-ending money, I feel like they don't have to talk about it so much. I know that she's trying to, bring across this lifestyle on the show. I'm sure that's encouraged. They want to show off everything she's got, and I get it. But I don't know. Again, we were introduced to her. Instead of learning about any of the business or about anything, we're around a lot of celebrities. And I'm like, okay, all right, but what else do you got? And I'm still waiting.
Yeah. We'll see a lot.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I know. Megan is into it. I'm into it, too. And I like the fact that on the next episode, you know, she kind of goes in on Erica. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm sure Lisa kind of prepared her for. And I'm sure she's seen so many of these episodes. Like, she's going to have to come up with something and butt heads with somebody. So I'm interested to see where she goes.
Yeah. I'm getting a good chuckle at her. I like to say I'm laughing at her, but when that husband, we'll talk about him later, but when those two come on, I'm like, now what, how many names / what are they going to drop in this scene to like let us know more about how much money they have? I don't know. I'm just like, I'm into it, but kind of on a joke level. I'm not taking her too seriously just yet. I don't know. The jury's out on her.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. Lisa Vanderpump is out to buy another gift for her husband. She bought him a really nice over $25,000 watch. Beautiful watch. I was glad that we didn't have to deal with any more animals this time. We had that last week, so we're good for a while, I think. What else? Erica is doing really well. She's doing shows. I missed one of them, but Denver and Greece.
And yes, was and Vegas.
Vegas. Okay, I'm going to miss Vegas. She's got this new song, Expensive, that if you listen when during these auditions, you kind of hear it.
I'm trying so hard.
Me too.
I liked it.
It was good.
It's not out, but obviously we're waiting, and you know we'll be having it playing in the studio once it's out and available, and this video is going to be really over the top. Mikey can't, like, wait to get this video together. Did you catch her shirt? Did you read her shirt?
I kept trying, and I... No, what did it say? Mm-hmm.
It said, "My pussy, my rules."
Nice. Oh, Pat the Puss. Well, you know what I noticed? Mikey said at the very end of this scene, he's like, "We really got to get this video done because I know you have other things going on." Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, what do we mean by that? Mm-hmm. I mean, she doesn't have to work. Her job is being Erica Jane. So what does he mean by, you don't even have time to make this new video? Like, okay.
Perhaps this was around the time they were shooting for Young and the Restless? But that doesn't take more than a couple days.
She only
right?
one day
yeah,
shoot, right?
And they shoot about a month and a half. I'd say about what would that be? Like five weeks out from the air date. So that's out. That was like
maybe a spinoff we don't know about that's just going to come out of nowhere.
Oh, Thomas. You're speaking the language.
See, I think it's the travels. Yes. I follow her on Instagram and Snapchat, and I saw a lot of her traveling over the summer, and I thought each trip was the cast trip, and I was like, oh, so they're going to Greece. But it was really her. She's really actually going to perform. So she really was traveling quite a bit over the summer. So I remember being like, wow, now she's over here. So
that kind of answers our question. We were wondering last week why she doesn't perform in LA more, because we just want to see her live more.
Yeah.
But you know, if she's getting high profile gigs in places like Greece and Vegas, you could see why she maybe doesn't want to spend her time performing right here in LA, which she can do anytime.
Yeah. Right. And she's such a smart woman. She's such a smart businesswoman. It's exciting to see like where this is all gonna, you know, go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I respect that she doesn't sell out and doesn't overdo it in one city, because she could just be an LA queen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm behind it. So Kyle has her store, and it's in Beverly Hills, the Hamptons, and now it's opening up on the Upper East Side. And she has a huge store. I mean, that cannot be cheap. I mean, I don't know how much money she's making at this boutique, but that's like a gigantic store.
It doesn't matter how much money she makes. She could foot the bill on this. She could bankroll this entire thing, lose money on it every single month, and it wouldn't matter to her. She could consider it a hobby.
But she does have a partner, so I wonder how the partner would feel about that location if it lost money.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I was surprised because I was thinking this could be like a really, especially in New York, you know, like just get a teeny store, like have it be all special, boutique. But I mean, good for her. I mean, anyone that can hold down that many stores, that's work.
I remember when the Kardashians were out to buy space for Dash. I mean, their store is not that big, but Kyle's store is humongous compared to theirs.
My question is, why are we in the Upper East Side? Is
that's
this
true.
The wrong neighborhood for her store? Because I feel like it's more of a tourist attraction where people who don't live near one of the other locations would be excited to come visit New York
like
City
Chelsea
and like, oh, I've been watching Kyle forever on The Housewives. I'd love to pop into her store.
I think you're so right.
So, like the women of the Upper East Side are shopping at really, really expensive places, and Kyle carries expensive things, but I almost feel like they'd snub their nose like, we're too cool.
Yeah, maybe even being tied in with the housewives, women of bankers and Wall Street, I wouldn't be like, no, we're good. you know?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
It's already open. I think it opened right before the first episode.
Yeah, Christy, didn't you speak to that?
Yeah, we talked. Yeah, we talked about the opening and the news and gossip of our first episode.
Oh, I thought so. Oh yeah, right. I thought so, but I was like, I don't remember if it was open yet, or we were just talking about it. But
yeah, so it'd be just a little over 2 weeks ago.
Oh, good for her. Well, she said it was
early.
Three weeks ago.
She said it was only going to be like 2 months. Well, this wasn't the height of the summer, so it took more than 2 months, as we can tell. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that gaudy Jeep outside with the Florida plates? Did you catch that?
I think that's cute.
It was very Vanderpump-y.
It was like the old school pink, whatever it is
that they sit outside a pump that we've seen them going on during the parade.
It was kind of like Bethany's, you know, her...
Her skinny girl VW.
So and they're close friends, so you would think that that would kind of like, I'm going to have my store, I'm going to have a car.
What do you think being on like a reality show that the whole country could watch you'd be enough promotion? They literally are driving a car around town like, follow me. It's like, oh my God.
I just feel bad for the very poor person who has to move their car for street cleaning because it's so annoying. It's going to serve a purpose. You know what I mean? I just think it's just obnoxious. Like, I don't know. Again, like Upper East Side, like, I don't know if these women of multi-billionaires are going to want to walk past that.
Maybe they'd be into it. I don't know.
Maybe they think it's cute.
Right. Like, I watch the show. Let's go in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Megan. I think it should be in a more tourist-heavy place. Yeah. Because I know, like, when I go into the city, like, I'm not really looking to go too far out of Midtown because that's what I'm there for, you know? If you're there to see a play, you're usually staying in that area. So, yeah. I mean, I'm probably not going to go to that store. I don't go to Beverly Hills one anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be in that. I just wouldn't go there. I wouldn't go there.
Maybe just to snap, like, a selfie and just be like, oh,
no. Nah, I mean, I don't want to be seen with that Jeep. So, no. No, I'm just kidding. What else? We talked a little about Dorit. I wrote Dorit does nothing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, our chat roll chimed in a little bit. PJ said, Dorit reminds me more of Adrian Maloof than Camille Grammer. Adrian was not shy about showing the bling, etc.
That's true. Yeah. Although Adrian had a shade of realness to her, like a real, like, to me, she was a little more grounded.
She was like honest, very honest.
Yeah.
You know what stuck out to me was introducing us to both the children and that they both have special needs in a way.
They do.
Like the physical need of the baby and then the son's not speaking yet. I was like, oh, wow, this like humanizes her a bit.
That was interesting because, again, we're finally learning something beyond the fact that boy George lives with her. And she had to mention that again, that parenting is harder to do than getting boy George to date a woman. And it's like, we get it. We get the connection, you know.
Good one, Dorit.
Yeah. But, that actually was juicy. Like, we want to know about these people's lives. So, I'm with you on that completely. Mm-hmm. Eileen, let's talk a little bit about her. We'll kind of package her all in one since she was kind of on her own island in this episode. I really felt for her. I mean, dealing with multiple deaths. I don't blame her for going to therapy. You know, I mean, it seems like her whole nuclear family, except for her, you know, her husband and her children have kind of come and gone. So that's a lot to deal with. I can't wrap my mind around any of that. I'm very fortunate in my life, but that is a lot to handle.
It is a lot to handle. And, you know, when she was talking about having to explain it to people and almost being embarrassed, I really understood that because I thought, you know, it must feel like, what's wrong with me that I have all these people? You know, I know that some of her family members, most of them are medical reasons, but some are overdoses and things like that. I can certainly understand how she feels like she's complaining too much or whining or going, oh, woe is me, when you start going, oh, yes, I lost my mother. Well, and my brother. Well, and my sister and my other. You know, I really understood her, where she was coming from in this scene. It really felt for her.
Because you're always on the receiving end of sympathy.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like, after a while, it's like a lot, I feel like. Especially when you feel like, I feel like she's in her head where she might feel as though she's putting people out. Instead of having to just have a quick chat, there's always someone they have to, like, oh, look, I'm so sorry about this death. I'm so sorry. And it just kind of changes the dynamic of relationships after a while.
I'm sure it takes a lot on her as well because she's going to this therapy on camera. She's in between going through grief, but she's like, I have to work. I'm like, all these cameras are here, so it's nice for the viewers who can relate to what she's going through to kind of, you know, sympathize with her. So she kind of balances out the show.
My mom's actually going through this. Her mom passed away, it'll be a year ago, in like a week.
Sorry.
So, and she just said the other day, you know, I'm still grieving my mother, with air quotes. I'm still what I call grieving. You know, like, mom, you're grieving your mother, and that's okay, especially at the holidays. And But just to hear the list rattled off of all the deaths, I was like, oh, wow. That's so okay, that's a lot to handle.
I think it was almost 10 names.
Yeah.
Had maybe seven at the very least. But
and she wasn't saying, like, my next door neighbor's third cousin, stepfather twice removed.
Yeah, it was
like,
my sister's.
Yeah. The parents and the, siblings.
She says she was the youngest of seven, too. So that must weigh a lot on her. You know,
absolutely.
I mean it's like when you lose your parents, it's like such an earth-shattering change, and then but she's already had siblings precede her mother. It's like I think you start getting scared and feeling closer to death. I think that's why your parents' death rattles you so much, is you're like, shit, now I'm next in line.
Yeah, kind of like that generation is now
gone.
You're that generation now. Scary stuff. I thought the moment when she said, when she closed the door, it was closing the door on her mother's physical existence. It is very final. I mean, her son was on her for getting emotional, but that is such, I mean, to go into someone's home after they've passed, I can only imagine must be just it can't be easy, to say the very least. So I really felt for her. I really enjoy Eileen on this show. Like you said, it kind of balanced it out.
She's got me this season.
Like her? You're in? I don't know, last season where were you, a little like lukewarm on her?
Yes, because she just wasn't, she was just boring last season. I thought
Until the end.
And not that she needs to be dealing with grief to not
to be
boring,
interesting.
But I think, you know, this allows us to see inside her life more. We just didn't get that from her last season.
Well, meanwhile, back in New York, Lisa Rinna has a meeting with her daughter, and they're going to see our fashion book. And this guy comes in with a shirt. This girl, this actress, this model, her daughter, is 18 years old, and her agent has a shirt that says pervert on it. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
I caught that, too.
I'm like, I mean, granted, I don't know if he was a straight man, let's just say, but still, I mean, why would you conduct yourself that way? That is not a professional thing. You're going into this. They spoke up this CR book, this modeling thing.
Kind of cheapened the situation.
Yeah. Is it a high-end like fashion thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Right? I mean, still,
but
I get what you're saying.
But is it professional for business?
No, totally.
You know what I mean?
If I were filming a reality show, I probably would wear that tomorrow. Like,
Put the blazer on. Let's put the blazer and a nice shirt.
In the next breath, she's like, yeah, I'm leaving my daughter in the city overnight alone with the guy.
With the pervert agent.
Just saying. Check one, two. You know, just check one, two on that one. I don't know. But,
you know, I do have to say, I'm glad that there is, like, a set of daughters on this season, because when Yolanda left, that was a part of me that was like, no, wait, Gigi, come back. Like, Bella, come back. So they fill that role for it. And you could tell Lisa is so adamant about making her this Teen Vogue, which she is. Props to her. But I feel like, I'm really happy that there's like two set of sisters on the show.
Because
Kyle's daughters, they come in and out, but this, we're seeing like, you know, their teens.
They did an interview. I like that they had a moment.
This is a great storyline for Rinna, because she kept, I feel like the faux drama, or always trying to start something so that she would have a storyline, and now she's like, oh, let me use the Yolanda playbook, push the kids right on camera, they'll get their fame, become the next Gigi and Bella, and then I'm good. And I don't got to work so hard on the housewives.
Set them for life. Same strategy.
So I think it's a good look for her. And the girl, the girls having interviews, I thought was unique, because we haven't seen that.
That was awesome.
And they have a great dynamic together. The daughters do. It makes me excited for reality spinoffs of the future.
I know.
You never know.
And hopefully some intertwining between everybody.
The daughters of Beverly Hills. The daughters of Beverly Hills take New York. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
I like those two girls. I want to see more of them. Max wasn't on the show, Lisa Vanderpump's son, but they talked about how she wants to gift him the luxe life, and she wants to get him his own furnished apartment, which must be nice, that he still has to pay for. So, I don't know, what is Max just still hanging out at Pump and Sir, or what is he doing now?
Last we heard, he's still, working at Sir.
Yeah.
But, you know, last season, this is such a change, because she was saying, you know, I'm not going to pay your electric bill, and there was something about a vehicle, too. I think he couldn't even afford gas or something, and she was just refusing to help him out at all. So I'm just curious when or how she decided that, oh, he's struggled enough now. Like, she kind of just made it very final. Like, I want them to struggle, but then I want to give them everything. So what was the catalyst?
I think for her, it was to set it up that way, to be honest with you, because I feel like Lisa is, you know, that's kind of her personality a little bit. And if she was just going to right off the bat give him everything, she would have been judged by the viewers. Like, oh, of course, rich family, right. rich life. Of course, this is what Lisa's going to do. But to do it in levels, like what she's doing, it makes sense. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like she's announcing it, like, this is what's happening now. Mm. So I don't. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. I mean,
lucky him, yeah.
Yeah, really, though.
I was hoping she was going to say, like, oh, he finally this or finally that, mm-hmm. or, like, the power's been on and his apartment's clean and he comes to work every day and he works so hard and we just gave him a promotion at Pump, like, whatever. But it was like, oh, he's struggled enough. And I was like, damn it, Lisa. Make me like you, Lisa. Come on. Oh, well.
I know. This episode, her behavior was a little more dialed back. I have to say, like, I thought I was really tough on her last week. But I look at a lot of the comments on YouTube. You guys got a lot of love on those comments.
We did.
We really appreciate it.
That's nice. And we all do good. We thank you for it. And please continue to share the love of the comments below, of course. And give us some ratings on iTunes. We know you're listening, so why not?
Yes.
But let's talk about what I was going to say. The comments about Lisa. Like, a lot of people are just over her.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, I don't want to come on here and be negative towards one of the ladies, but I got to be real. I mean, last week was not a good look for her. Her behavior was bad.
I thought, you know what, her humor actually really worked for her in the watch shopping scene with Dorit. I thought it was, she actually was coming across very funny. But it's when she's just going in on other women and wants them to think it's such a funny joke all the time.
Well, that's a bitch move.
It's tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bitch move.
That's tired to me.
Yeah, I would have put up with that for a minute. If someone felt that comfortable to keep making jabs and stuff like that, like, they would think twice before they did it again, because I don't enjoy that. I don't easily let things go, like, disappear like that, because I don't like people to think that they can get away with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do like the fact that Lisa and Dorit, I love their friendship, like, the shopping. You see, like, the Lisa of, like, the very beginning, the happy with her friend, with her dog, you know what I mean? But I just, yeah, I appreciate their friendship together.
Yeah, I feel like Dorit was very impressed with herself attending that shopping trip. Let's talk about her and the husband. Let's talk about the husband.
The husband, yes.
A classic line from this show, right? Let's talk about the husband. Yeah, Lisa Rinna. She said that.
Kim Richards.
No, Kim.
Oh, Kim. Kim. Yeah. Oh. So, about
Rinna. About Harry Hamlin.
All right, thank you. Yes, I should know this. God, I should know this. The white party that we didn't get to see is coming up, and these ladies are joining at Estrella, right?
No, Pump.
Pump.
I actually went to that
party. Well, no, beforehand.
Weren't they at
Sofitel?
Sofitel first, and then they didn't show the party. They didn't show
that. That was lame tease.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. I was like, I wanted to, like, see myself in there. Like, did they get me? Because at that time I was blonde.
And they were shooting.
They were shooting in there, but they didn't show any of the footage. I think Daily Mail had shot footage for their online website at the time.
Hold out for secrets and, well, what are the hell secrets they call revealed. That crap at secrets the end of the reunion? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
We'll have to wait a few weeks.
A few? Months.
Sorry, months.
It will be 23 weeks away.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Exactly.
Yep.
Stay tuned.
Yes. So PK says that he's what are we drinking? Oh, I'm having Red Bulls and vodka. I mean, that turned me off so much, because it's like frat party stuff. Like, that is like, you're at this nice place. You know, we enjoy a lot of champagne here on this panel. And I was like, really? This PK is not doing it for me. I just think he's such a joke. I mean, I really shouldn't be saying this. But I do. I think he's a huge
joke.
He's
loving it. This is his first time at it. And I feel like the husbands who come on the first time, they don't know what they're expecting. I mean, you can watch all the other husbands, but once the cameras are on, you know, he's just kind of going with it and adding a little extra, too.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I was in his shoes, too, I'd be having some fun, too. So, whatever. But, I mean, I wouldn't be drinking that on camera, though. Anyway.
The shade. The red shade is so good.
Kyle has announced that Alicia Silverstone is playing her mother, right? The mother.
Yes.
In her show, which is interesting. We've heard a lot about the show. I thought this news broke recently, but I guess it came out in the summer. I don't know. When are they going into production on this? Do we know?
It was a few months ago when that news broke. I remember because we talked about it on Orange County Housewives, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. So that's how I remember. But, you know, she had said that it was going to be... It's been signed to TV Land a long time ago already. I mean, this has to be coming soon.
Well, there's a production still out. like the cast photo, but it's just a still. And it's Alicia Silverstone and Mina Suvari, and then another actress I don't really know.
Are they in a lawn or something?
They're on like a patio near a pool or something.
I saw that.
Oh, I have to look this up.
So, I mean, the styling of the photo is beautiful. Like, I'm so convinced, and I read that it's supposed to be a dramedy, and I'm like, oh, this looks like it could be a legit drama. I'm excited. Ooh.
70 chic.
I'm gonna take a look. I'm curious to see what this all was about. You've heard about it long enough. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have made it a point to avoid this show just because I don't care for Kyle. I have I don't care to consume anything that she's had a hand in or to hear anything about her personal story. However, if you're going to put Alicia Silverstone in it, you're not really giving me a choice because I love Alicia Silverstone. Yes. And I'll watch anything that she's a part of. I think that was a genius casting move. And I'm just glad to see her in another starring role on a TV show.
Yeah. She's got a great career.
She really has.
And she's not even that old, so she's a lot coming.
Well, I think the fact that Kathy Hilton's pissed that the show is getting made is, like, very exciting. I'm like, ooh, spill all the secrets, then. What happened?
Give us all the tea, Kathy.
Well, Dorit brings up how her and Lisa have this great British humor, and then Erica pipes it, and she says, oh, well, let's all start speaking with fake English accents and start to insult people.
Thank you, Erica.
I was surprised by her in that moment, because she doesn't usually come for people like that, especially when we can count on Erica to call someone out when they do something that they need to be called out on.
Yeah.
But in this case, it sort of seemed like they were just sitting down. It made me think that there was something more that Erica knows about Dorit, or that it's happened before. There's some reason why Erica is so suspicious of Dorit. And I want to back Erica up, and I want to know what it is.
Same.
I think it's like it's gonna be like the Battle of the Blondes, I feel like, between them. I don't see them getting along. I mean, just maybe like, you know, high and by, but I feel like they're so different, and Erica knows that she's probably gonna be able to kind of take over the situation with Dorit. Like, Dorit, I feel like she's not coming to me as such a strong personality yet to, you know, go to Erica like that.
Yeah, I mean, she even kind of iced Erica out and said, oh, Americans just need to settle down. Erica, just relax. Like, that's not the worst thing you could say. Like, when you're trying to build a relationship with someone, you don't tell someone to relax.
Yeah.
That makes me think of the Hot Wives.
Yeah.
You know, the
yes.
Spoof.
Yes.
Yeah. They're going to do another season.
Calm
of
down.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me to calm down.
And then that's when Erica drops her line about, bitch, you're from Connecticut, which is kind of true. I mean, it is. But Dorit says that Erica is, like, she in her interview, she's a bit guarded. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like,
the guarded word.
The guarded word is dropped. Like, this, she's not being, like, open. Like, again, then Erica says the following line that comes with that. Well, that needs to be earned. I'm not very open. Like, that's just my personality. And I have to really get to know you. And I'm very introverted. And, of course, no one would believe it, she's introverted, but anyone that knows real true performers know that they, like, even like I would say, like, even Britney is a good example.
I knew you were gonna bring up Britney.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very, like, she's so goofy and like just like kind of like hides her face from, like, she's not like really out there,
but on stage somebody else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get it. I get Erica, and I definitely can see why the other women won't, because they're not performers like she is in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want to say, anything?
I'm excited to see the next episode with Dorit kind of coming for Erica, you know, with the gift that she's about to gift her. I love I'm loving the fact that there's going to be conflict between them, because on tonight's episode we saw a little bit, but you know, that's why we watch these shows, to get that conflict, to see these women kind of butt heads, and I feel like that's going to be a new matchup that people are going to really focus on.
Yeah,
I want to say that. Because, again, I want there to be some reason why Erica is so hot with Dorit. Not because in this situation, normally I would assume it's because Erica made a big splash as the hot new blonde last season, and now she's worried about getting knocked off by the new hot blonde. But Erica's way too secure for that. She is too cool for that, and that can't be the case.
I agree.
So what's going on here?
I think it might be also a case of just not gelling well with somebody. Sometimes, like I've said in the past, when you don't vibe with somebody, you don't vibe with somebody. And I feel like she kind of senses that from her. She can't relate to... Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, Erica's loaded, but with the way that Dorit kind of presents herself, maybe that might not be the style or the kind of lifestyle that Erica can gel with.
Well, maybe there's something, like, going on here as an undercurrent with Erica.
Or that.
Because Dorit's like, look, I want to get to know you, but you're really guarded. Like, to her face, she's like, you're guarded. Mm. And then, you know, I don't think they vibed at her birthday party so much. And, then, you know, the comment with Mikey about, I know you've got a lot going on. Like, maybe Erica's just, like, only half there mentally whenever she's filming and just not that into it. And Dorit's reading into it that she's standoffish.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Also, I think what we're all kind of saying here is that Erica really does have stuff going on that we don't know about that could not maybe not be just performances and, and good stuff. So,
did she say that she didn't know that it was an all-white party, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Because when I was at the party, I was like, of course Erica would be wearing a half-black to ruin the whole Lisa all-white theme. When I saw her, I was like, is that black? Yeah.
Well, Kyle had to point out that she was wearing these white underwear, this white underwear piece that no one could see, and it started all, I mean, if she said nothing, no one would know.
This is classic Kyle attention getting. This is the same as the splits crap all the time. I wasn't surprised
by this. The hair twirling.
A woman of that age knows you don't wear white under white. You know you wear nude under white. Anyway.
And this is someone who owns three boutique stores. Just saying. Yeah, I don't know. So this started the conversation about underwear and who had some and who didn't. And then, I mean, if you listen to that PK, you might think that Erica had her wide open.
I know.
I really don't think that anything was going on. I mean, granted, like, look, the way the Erica's dress, maybe, ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that dress that had, like, the jewelry kind of on the side, like, I don't think you would wear underwear with that because you'd see it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like I'm sure Erica has done this before and has worn a dress or slash skirt before and knows not to open up her legs. We didn't see any of that. We didn't see anything provocative. He was the one that was like kept looking over and said he was getting hot looking at her because he was so uncomfortable.
Then he denies
allegedly.
Then he denies to his wife that it wasn't getting him excited. He was getting nervous.
That conversation just went on for so long. I was starting to get uncomfortable, like in the kitchen.
Well, it came across as mean spirited.
A little bit.
I thought, you know, I mean, maybe these are just not the kind of conversations that my husband and I would have.
First of all, grow the F up.
Exactly.
Half of them, I'm sure half of them don't wear underwear to half of these shoots, and then they're going to pick on her and be like, oh, cross your legs, put a napkin over your hoo-ha, and like Lisa's like touching her cooch, like Lisa shoved her hand up her dress.
Yes,
Jesus,
going deep. I know it's bad.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What else can we say? PK said that Erica's bits are just available to the world.
Well, you
I'm
know
like
what?
Really, really, dude. Like they're not. Like she. She's not
she
a porn star.
She don't want you, no. I guarantee that.
She's not a
she's
porn
not
star
here
lady.
For you.
Yeah.
I feel like she's shown off more in a music video.
Yeah, I mean, well, kind of. I mean, she...
She does a lot of splits and Vs. And yes. Like a V with the legs. Yeah.
And that's her prerogative, but she's not like she's walking around with...
No, I don't mind it. It's like, they need to accept that she's a pop star and get the F over it. It's like always a comment with the clothes, and it's like, please...
I know. These women, they act prudish with things like this, but yet they're so quick to have these sexual conversations. You know, they all walk around, like my grandmother was saying last night. She's like, all those girls in Beverly Hills, all they do is walk around with their damn boobs out. And I was like, I never noticed. Like, really? She goes, they're all in mini dresses with all their fake boobs out. So, like, the women, when they were looking at the watches, they were talking about, like, you know, like condoms or whatever. It's like, they're so quick to talk about sexual humor, but the minute someone's a little promiscuous or not wearing underwear and like, not even being that over about it, they have to have a moment. They have to discuss it with the husband. I mean, really? That one.
Well, I'm glad she didn't wear underwear because we wouldn't have been discussing it tonight.
I know.
And it made for the episode, actually.
I know. You know,
made me excited for next week.
Uh-oh.
I thought that not wearing underwear is more common, especially with women in dresses and going out.
I do it all the time.
So that's why I'm saying, I'm like, I don't understand what this verifies a full chat for, a storyline. You know?
I mean, I wear underwear all the time, regardless if there's going to be a panty line or not. But I've...
Me too.
I've come to not judge other women for not doing so. Because it's like so... Remember the days when it was cool? It was like a thing. Like, Lindsay and Brittany and Paris were all doing it.
It was like 2 months of just straight vag.
Yes. Yeah.
They're part of the elite vag club.
Yes. And then it would be in the magazine with the splatter mark over it. Like, blocking it. Oh, my God.
Brittany got it the worst, though.
She did.
She was real sloppy a few months in a row.
Yeah, she made the mistake more than once and more than twice. But,
we can blame Paris's Mercedes for being that low with the Batman window.
Yes. Oh, a classic time
the original
in Hollywood.
Hilton.
McLaren.
Yes. Let's take a look at some news and gossip with Christy Reports.
Let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Well, this is quite interesting. Erica gave an interview this week, and she reveals that she did not drink on her first season, last season. I didn't realize that. As we were watching, she said, I was completely sober. I did not have a drink at all. I knew that that's how things would escalate, and that's how you can get into trouble. So that's how she kept herself out of trouble. We'll see what happens this season. On a little bit more of a serious note, you guys may remember the Brandy Glanville Joanna Krupa hoopla, the lawsuit is ongoing. This is regarding comments that Brandy made on Watch What Happens Live and on the Howard Stern show about Joanna Krupa allegedly having an affair with Mohammed, and there were some graphic comments that she made. Okay, so the latest update is that Andy Cohen and Howard Stern have been dragged into the lawsuit, and they could actually both be called to testify during the court, when the court goes down.
So you can get a camera?
Right?
It's already on video. It sounds kind of far. I know. What do they have to testify for? Rewind the tape.
It sounds like it is, because this originally went down in November of 2013. The lawsuit got filed early at the beginning of last year. So Krupa's not giving this one up. Not at all. She's alleging slander and emotional distress. So I will keep y'all posted on that. Brandy's trying to stay Brandy in the headlines. Fan, you're not?
Really.
Well, she was making out with her new boyfriend, the EVP of his billionaire father's company. So I'm just trying to say this guy's got some coin. DJ Freeze Jr. Freezy? I don't know. He's got some fancy-ass name, y'all. And Erica, as we reported, did make her Young and the Restless debut last week. If you didn't see it, fear not. It is on the Young and Restless's YouTube page. It is a great little scene. You will love it. Make sure you don't miss it.
She actually did three. There was the one with the coffee spilling.
Okay, that's the one on YouTube.
Yeah. And then there was another scene she had with Eileen where they tried to make up. And then she ended up, she was a real estate agent on the show. She sold a house to another couple later in the episode. So I'm wondering if they'll make her a recurring character. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, they gave her a full, you know, three scenes out of an hour show, which is pretty good for, you know, recurring role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you want to hear my thoughts on it, I was on the Young and the Restless after show on Sunday, something different, and we talked a little bit about it there. So it's a good show. Check it out. It's on AfterBuzz.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, Lisa Rinna's not going to let everybody else get the attention. She posted a photo of herself in a black bra and panties on Instagram a few days ago. So if you want to see Lisa and her skivvies, check that out. And just another little tidbit from Lisa. They talked about her QVC line tonight. She's come out recently and said that her QVC line contains only faux leather. So, vegans, if you're an Alicia Silverstone fan and you love Lisa Rinna as well, fear not. You can scoop up every bit of those faux leather jackets. And that has been your news and gossip.
Oh, all good stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Well, we can take a look and predict. It looks like there's going to be some underwear gifted. So stupid.
You know, I'm actually really looking forward. I don't know. I'm sure you guys know what episode Eden Sassoon is going to come on.
Four. Oh, yeah, so next week.
Okay, cool. She just followed me on Twitter. So I'm starting to, like, kind of follow her life. And she takes a lot of time on her Instagram story. So you guys should check that out for sure. So I'm excited to see, like, you know, what she's going to add and contribute.
I have very high hopes for her addition to the show. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I posted a throwback interview with her on my YouTube channel a few days ago. Ooh, nice. So if you guys are wanting to know about Eden before we see her next week, make sure you check that out.
Yes, yeah, sounds good. All right, well, happy holidays.
Oh, sorry if I steamrolled over predictions.
No, I think that's it. I don't have much to predict. Megan, anything good over there?
No, I feel like we saw a lot in the promo, so I'm I'm going that direction.
Yes. Well, I will be on the East Coast next week. Well, never fear, we're having our show. It's on the schedule I saw, so you guys can check us out next week here at AfterBuzz TV.
No, we're off next week.
You are?
Yeah, the studio's going to be closed.
Oh, I thought I saw it on the schedule. I feel like checked specifically. Sorry, no, lie.
So we'll be back. We'll be back the following week.
Sorry about that. I am.
Fair enough.
Yes. Anyway. All right. You guys can check us out on all of our social medias. Where can we find you guys?
Oh, hey, guys. It's Megan. You can find me on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. It's all at Megan Stecher. It's MEGANSTECHER. Happy New Year and happy holidays.
Hey, guys. You guys can follow me at Thomas Rulina on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. And I take a lot of time on my Snapchat and Instagram, so check it out.
Yeah, ooh, good stuff. Mm-hmm. And please watch The Maury Povich Show tomorrow. That is Wednesday. I will be breaking down some caught-on-camera holiday-themed moments with Maury, co-hosting a segment. And if you want to check out that Eden Sassoon interview or my recap of Paige and Del Rio from Total Divas' crazy year, please check it out at youtube.com/ChristyReports. I really appreciate it.
Nice.
And I get a lot of great comments on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat as well. I don't read the YouTube comments, but a lot of you reach out to me and let me know that you enjoy me on this show, which I really, really appreciate. And you can do that at Christy Reports.
And you guys can vote.
Not for sale, sorry. Not yet.
And you guys can find me over on Twitter at grants_rants. I appreciate all of your tweets. I try to get back to everyone and share my thoughts about all these crazy ladies. And if you're looking for some weekend enjoyment while you travel or around the holidays, listen to Grants Rants Hollywood Talk Holiday Party Panel. It's the most recent episode, number 44. Christy's on it. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of former alums. A lot of AfterBuzzers came in and came out too. It's a really good show. I encourage you to check it out. Grants Rants Hollywood Talk on all major podcasting platforms. We'll say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from the Housewives of BH After Show here at AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.